Kerr better watch it. I mean, they've been off to only a 9-1 start. Why aren't they undefeated? 10-0.
Always a question around these parts. So, yeah, I mentioned the phone lines, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. You can also participate in the program on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. We got a great show for you coming up as the Warriors get it done again last night at Oracle Arena. They're down going to the fourth quarter to the Timberwolves, but 33-12 in that fourth quarter. The Warriors outscore the T-Wolves, and this team now, Mark, is 9-1. The usual suspects involved last night, Stephen Curry, 28, Kevin Durant, 20 in the first half, 33 for the game. But last night was more about a bench player entering himself into a prominent role, and it was Alphonso McKinney and a group that started the fourth quarter that really they spurred the run that led the Warriors to victory.
Yeah, I mean, just think about where Alphonso McKinney has traveled so far. He started out as a training camp invite, and when I talked with him earlier this season, his thought process was, hey, I want to play well enough just to get a two-way contract. That two-way contract enables the Warriors to have a player with them for up to 45 days, otherwise they're with the G League team. But because of his play, because there still hasn't been any resolution with Patrick McCall, he's on the regular season roster. But then opening the regular season, there's questions, well, do the Warriors have enough wing depth? What can Alphonso McKinney provide? And it just seems like he's doing more and more by the game. I mean, he played the entire fourth quarter last night. He went 2-of-2, I think, from three-point range. And I remember when I was asking Steph Curry earlier this week just about his growth since training camp. And Steph was saying, you know, I think he's just scratching the surface. He hasn't even gotten started yet. That's a scary thing to think when you're talking about the Warriors, because they already have four All-Stars in Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. If you're adding a pretty dependable wing player off the bench that adds that punch, I just frankly don't see how you beat him.
Well, and it's 27 minutes last night. You mentioned he plays the entire fourth quarter. He entered at the normal point where Steve Kerr would sub him in, about 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, and that was it. He played the rest of the game, the entire fourth and the final four and some change of that third quarter, and he was a factor. And I think, you know, really, he does a lot of little things that allow him to be on the floor, but those things also allow him now to be on the floor long enough to where he can get comfortable with his offensive game. And I think you're starting to see the more he plays, the more he just has his bearings on the court, the more comfortable he gets. This guy's, not only is he not inept on offense, but he can actually run the floor and knock down a three on occasion.
Right. Those little things have made a big difference here, because Alphonso McKinney has entered a game with the right mindset where, look, he knows when you're playing on the Warriors, the guys that are getting the shots, right? Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. So how do you add value? Well, you get rebounds, you hustle, you find ways to kind of fill in those gaps, and that gives the Warriors extra possessions, maybe some extra energy in a regular season game, or maybe otherwise they would just be going through the motions. But as much star power as the Warriors have and a lot of good outside shooting, the reality is they're all in the scouting reports. Teams are going to try to find some way to limit their shots or make it more difficult. So when someone like Alphonso McKinney has open shots, you have to be confident enough to be taking them and also making them. And it's easier said than done. And here's why. You don't know when those shots are going to be available. You're not going to get a lot of those. And there's also that fine line that I know talking to some role players last year and this year have a real challenge of figuring out what constitutes a good shot on this team. Because on one hand, Steve Kerr, great coach, tells them, let it rip. But there is a difference between a good shot and a better shot, because a lot of times an open shot for a role player may not be a better shot than a somewhat contested shot for Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, or Klay Thompson. But he's been able to figure out that puzzle, and the Warriors have been, you know, really benefiting from that. So much that I think it's early. You don't want to, you know, make too many conclusions yet, but he's shown a lot of promising signs that he's already upgraded the wing position 10 games into the season.
Yeah, I mean, athletically, length, he's got a knack for going to the offensive glass, which, I mean, if you're talking about adding possessions for this Warriors team, as great as they are offensively, you know, somebody that's just going to go attack and get the rebound and kick it back out is a huge advantage when you're talking about a role player for this team. And it's a case really where the rich may get richer here, because the Warriors bench in these first 10 games, as it's played out with Kevon Looney, with McKinney, they look better than they were last year, especially at this time last year.
Right. And when we're talking about Alphonso McKinney, you have to contrast it with Patrick McCall, because he still hasn't agreed to that two-year, $5.2 million offer.
That's still on the table?
Non-guaranteed its second year. Yeah.
That offer's still on the table.
Here's the thing. So the Warriors have not needed to do anything ever since free agency started. They gave that $1.7 million qualifying offer to him before free agency started. Now, that expired early in training camp, but that other offer's still on the table. And basically, the way it's come down to is the Warriors don't need to do anything, because they still own his rights. He is a restricted free agent. So if he were to have gotten an offer, the Warriors would have had 3 days to try to match that. But they haven't had to do it because he hasn't got any offers.
Right.
But here's the thing. The Warriors don't need Patrick McCall right now. And partly that is because of how well Alphonso McKinney has been playing. When we've been talking about how comfortable he feels with his role and how assertive he is and how he's able to do those things with knocking down some open shots. Well, all those things are things that Patrick McCall didn't do last year. There was kind of a disappointment where he had that promising rookie season the previous year, and you thought, okay, how's he going to build off that? Is he going to be progressing so much that the Warriors won't be able to afford him in free agency because there's so much interest? But even before that devastating injury that he had in March in Sacramento, where he had that severe spinal injury and he had to be taken to the hospital, he was frankly inconsistent. He was always passing up shots. He wasn't assertive enough. And there was so many times where Steve Kerr was telling him, hey, just be comfortable out there. Just play. And a lot of times it seemed like he wasn't able to do that. And Alphonso McKinney is. So when you're looking at what this means for Patrick McCall, even before Alphonso was playing this well, I was doubtful that he's going to come back. But as much as the Warriors are opening the door publicly that there's still a roster spot for him, and, you know, Alphonso McKinney's contract isn't technically guaranteed till January, I think the writing on the wall is obvious. This means that McCall's time with the Warriors is officially over.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group with you until 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. It is Warriors this week, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Mark, around this team pretty much 24-7.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions for Mark today between now and 1 o'clock, feel free to chime in on the phone lines. Look, a big theme for the Warriors coming into this season, and Steve Kerr joked about it at the end of last season. They win the championship, and he jokes, well, he says, I'm not showing up till February because motivation, if motivation was an issue last year,
going to show up till February, yeah.
then motivation's going to be a problem this year. But that hasn't been the case. The motivation, the spirit by which the Warriors have played with in the early going is significantly different and significantly better than it was a year ago. Oh, by the way, you add it up right now through 10 games, and the Warriors have won 7 in a row, and they're 9-1, and they have the best record in the NBA.
Yeah, they're kind of a good team.
And they look motivated. They look motivated, which is something that, again, I'm in some ways stunned that they've looked as locked in to this point based on the way last year played out, but maybe they got it out of their system.
Yeah, I'm not stunned with the record, but I'm stunned with how they've been playing.
How it looks.
Yeah, how it looks. Because you would think if last year the issue was motivation and pacing themselves, they've been through the finals ever since 2015, will you add another year of that? How do you battle it? But I think what's helped is, you know, guys like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant have been a little bit more efficient than they usually were, but also they have an infusion of youth. And I think psychologically they also didn't want to keep repeating that drum that it's a long season. They've been through the final so many times, because even if all those things were valid, I think it wound up becoming more of a self-fulfilling prophecy that it became a built-in excuse.
We got a great show for you. Gary St. Jean is going to join us coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Michael Thompson, father of Clay, also a Los Angeles radio show host as well, and Lakers radio analyst Michael Thompson. He's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Sam Amick and Jim Barnett as well. Steve Kerr, though, said something last night that absolutely stunned me. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Warriors This Week. It's John Dickinson. It's Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, roll along here on a Saturday. It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group, in studio here until 1 o'clock, 888-957-9570. How surprised are you at the Warriors' 9-1 start? It looks like they have increased the gap between them and everybody else in the NBA, certainly everybody else in the Western Conference. There are a couple of teams off to some hot starts in the Eastern Conference, which we will get into between now and 1 o'clock. But in the West, the standings are a little bit topsy-turvy. I think there's 5-6 teams maybe even that aren't in the playoffs currently that most would project to be in the playoffs, and it's definitely early, but you look at the spirit by which the Warriors have started this season, and it's really helped lead them to that 9-1 record. Oh yeah, by the way, a lot of terrific play from Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson broke the three-point record for three-pointers made in a single game in Chicago. But Mark, there was something that Steve Kerr said last night in the post-game press conference regarding Draymond Green, because Stephen Curry had all the headlines, and rightfully so, and Klay had the big game that I mentioned, and Durant has been terrific and had his moment in New York with everybody, you know, trying to recruit him to come there in free agency. But let's hear from Steve Kerr last night on Draymond Green.
Draymond set the tone. I'm not sure I've seen Draymond play better since I've been here than what he's doing right now. Defense has always been fantastic, but he's taking such good care of the ball. You know, he had a couple turnovers tonight, but over the course of the last, you know, few weeks, the decision-making, the poise, the ability to play through adversity, he knows how much we need him. He's lifting everybody else up. It's been really fun to watch him play.
Now, Mark, I want to play the first part again.
Draymond set the tone. I'm not sure I've seen Draymond play better since I've been here than what he's doing right now.
I'm not sure I've seen Draymond play better since I've been here. That stunned me when I was sitting there, and I know you were right there as well. We've seen a lot of great basketball from Draymond Green, but I mean, where are you on that particular statement?
Well, it also reminded me of what Steve Kerr said after the Warriors win against New Orleans earlier this week, where if you look at the box score, Steph Curry had 37 points, Kevin Durant had 24, Klay had 18. It's looked like a typical night for those three all-stars, and he was saying, I thought Draymond Green was the best player tonight. That speaks a lot about what he means and how his value is not reflective of the box score, because he changes a game so dramatically with his defensive intensity, his versatility, playing on offense as a playmaker, sometimes taking that shot. But I think it's also reveals a lot of where Draymond's at this point in the season. Remember last year when he entered the season, he was not playing his best basketball, and he even himself would admit that he wasn't fully engaged. And then as the season went on, he was dealing with all these shoulder injuries and these knee injuries and elbow injuries, and he didn't miss a lot of games, but it was always something that was wearing on him. And here, I think you see a completely different player, where Warrior fans have seen Draymond play like this before, but at this level, at this level of consistency early in the season, I think it's been for the first time in a while. And I think there's a lot of things that go into play with this. Draymond rested a lot this offseason. He got himself healthy. He did miss three games in training camp because of a knee issue, but he got back into shape right away. He's pretty locked in because he knows he didn't play his best season last year, and he lost out on the Defensive Player of the Year award. And he even said he considered it disrespectful that he was named on the NBA All-Second Team.
Now, how did you take that? Because I took that almost as if he was acknowledging that he didn't play at a high enough level. Did you take it more that way or more that he felt it was disrespectful that he still didn't get enough votes to put him on the first team?
I think if you gave Draymond some truth serum, he would admit that he shouldn't have deserved to be on the first team last year. But I think he's trying to use this as motivation that look what everyone's saying about me. They don't respect me enough for defense. And I think for sure, I'm a voter, right? If he played the way he's capable of playing, he would have been on the first team last year. But he didn't play the way he's capable of playing. But I think it's one of those things that...
And it's not like he was on the 15th team. He was on the second team.
Right, but Draymond sees himself as such a great defender. The previous year, he won the Defensive Player of the Year awards. I think it's one of those things that he's using to pump himself up. I mean, he literally says every day when he wakes up in the morning, he looks in the mirror and is telling him, hey, you know, everyone voted me for the second team last year. I'm going to prove them wrong. Like, he is ready to go every single night this season. And, you know, it's early. There's going to be games, not just with Draymond, but the Warriors themselves. There are going to be battling complacency. It's not realistic for them to play with full intensity in December, January, and February when they're trying to get ready for April, May, and June. But I think, by and large, the large sample size, it's going to show and engage Draymond.
Yeah, and look, if you build up enough of a cushion while you are healthy, because to me that's what it's about if you're the Warriors. It's, you know, you're going to deal with injuries. You know at some point you're going to rest players and try and keep them fresh for a long playoff run. But when you are healthy, and the Warriors are healthy in terms of their stars, and I know Iguodala's had a little something, and Sean Livingston's missed some games, mm-hmm. but those have provided opportunities for others, mainly Alphonso McKinney, who we talked about in the first segment. But while you have the four headliners, the four all-stars, and before you get DeMarcus Cousins back to make it a fifth, that's the other thing that we all seemingly forget. Even though he's around every day and we all see him at practice and we see him on the bench and he's getting ejected when he's on the bench.
Yeah, more techs and ejections than points and games played so far.
Unbelievable. Although I joked last week, we all should have seen that bet coming. We all should have seen that one coming.
Did you throw down a wager on that?
We all should have seen. I should have. We all should have seen that coming, that he would have had at least a technical before he played a game. Like that one, it's, and I'm obviously kidding a little bit here, but it's just that was meant to be, I think, when you look at the Warriors signing DeMarcus Cousins. But to me, you want to make hay if you're the Warriors and build a cushion, because when they have the four All-Stars and everybody in place, the reality is they probably should win 8 or 9 out of every 10 games.
Yeah. No one else has four All-Stars or five All-Stars once DeMarcus comes
especially
back.
Especially with all the teams in the league that are still trying to figure it out.
Right. And with Draymond, the reason why I wasn't surprised when Steve Kerr said those things that you just heard on that soundbite is I saw the game, and I was thinking the same thing. Like, there was a sequence in the second quarter where he was guarding Tyus Jones, like, along the elbow.
Yeah.
He's trying to cut off the lane, and then he gets into the paint. He's shutting him off. There's a double team. Tyus Jones is kicking it out to three to Anthony Tolliver, and Draymond just jumps out on the perimeter and contests. It's like, how does he cover that amount of feet within 4 seconds? Well, how you do it is you're Draymond Green. You have a lot of basketball IQ. You know the floor spacing. You're athletic enough to do that. That play basically captures Draymond in a nutshell. And not only does that do a lot of things for that particular play, but you're looking at role players and stars alike. When Draymond sends that intensity, it rubs off on everyone else. And I don't want to say the Warriors were struggling offensively. They still had a good thing going last night with Steph and Durant and Klay doing their thing, but it wasn't as high-powered as normally was these first few games. And there's going to be games like that where you just had to grind it out. Maybe teams are trying to slow it down. The Warriors have to have a trump card, and that trump card's Draymond Green of, hey, if you want to slow it down, you want to try to take away some of the offensive firepower, well, guess what? You also have to deal with some of the defensive intensity that Draymond offers.
Draymond's the heartbeat. He is the guy that provides all of the intangibles. And I think when he's playing like he's playing now, he pulls the Warriors' level of play up.
Without a doubt.
He pulls the intensity level up. He makes you care. even if you maybe don't want to care or know you don't need to care as much.
You're in a care all of a sudden when Draymond starts yelling at you. You don't want that to happen.
Because it's just easier to care, frankly, when he's doing the things that he does because it makes such a positive impact on the court. I think Stephen Curry's the other part of that. Curry, when Curry's cooking, when Curry's hitting threes from all over and leading the break, and when he's making the plays that electrify an arena, that's another time where I think everybody feeds off of that, and it's easy to have energy.
Right. And with Steph Curry, they've often said his three-pointer is almost like a dunk in the NBA,
yes,
where it energizes the crowd. But with Draymond, I remember there was this moment earlier this week against New Orleans when he was taken out late in the second quarter to close the half, and he had made so many defensive stops. He was getting in guys' faces, and the crowd was loving it. And he started telling the crowd at Oracle Arena to raise it. He's motioning with his hands. And there you go. It's a trickle-down effect. All of a sudden, the crowd's into it even more. His teammates are into it even more. And then their opponent has no chance to respond.
It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina, Warriors this week here on 95.7. The game, Mark, of course, the Bay Area News Group. We are with you until 1 o'clock here, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Are you surprised to hear Steve Kerr say that he thinks Draymond Green is playing as well as he's ever played since Steve Kerr took over as head coach of the Warriors back in 2014, and this team started winning championships and getting to the seventh game of the NBA Finals after winning 73 games? And also, we can just take your thoughts on the biggest reason for the hot start, because I thought, based on the rest of the league, Mark, and teams trying to figure it out, that this year actually was probably going to be, it was going to look easier in terms of the regular season than last year did. I had no idea that the Warriors would play like they care more than they did last year.
Right.
And they've done it, and they're 9-1, and now the combination of the two, the Warriors have increased the gap. The Warriors have absolutely increased the gap between them and the rest of the league. Certainly between them and the Western Conference.
Yeah, Warrior fans should basically make their plans for the parade in Oakland already. Book it ahead, plan your day accordingly. I think from the text line, someone from 415 mentioned something very interesting that ties into this. He was saying, with plugging in some young guys, I think it has energized the others to teach and play with joy again. What do you think? I completely agree. That's been, I think, the main driving force, because the constants are, yeah, Steph Curry is going to be playing really well. Kevin Durant's going to be playing really well. Yeah, Draymond's a little bit more engaged. You know, Klay had some of his shooting struggles, but now he's back into form. But the difference between this year and last year is they have more youthful energy, and also some circumstances that have made it easier to navigate the early parts of the regular season. Like, on one hand, I get why the Warriors are blaming themselves a little bit, that, hey, they shouldn't, they had the wrong attitude last year. They shouldn't have talked about how tough of a grind it's been to be playing in the finals since 2015. They have to pace themselves. But the reality is that was a real thing. That gives you a lot of mileage that you have to catch up on. They had a preseason trip in China, which I know from experience, I didn't play, but
sure,
I was with them on that trip. It takes a lot out of you.
It knocked you on your tail, and you weren't even playing.
Yeah, it knocked me on my tail for a few days. You can only imagine how much that affects them, because they weren't able to get practice time. It took some time for them to jet lag. They're playing catch up. And then look at the roster makeup. They had so many veterans where, okay, from a locker room standpoint, it's helpful, but from a practice standpoint,
right,
it's all about just managing bodies, because Steve Kerr already doesn't scrimmage any of the All-Stars. A lot of times he's resting Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. Well, when you add David West, Zaza Pachulia, and JaVale McGee to that mix, all of a sudden you don't really have a lot of guys to play in practice. And this year, you had Jordan Bell coming back, you had Kevon Looney coming back, you had Damian Jones coming back, Quinn Cook coming back. Then they drafted Jacob Evans, Alphonso McKinney. Those are six players that are getting a lot of practice court time even before practice even starts. And then when practice is starting, there's a lot more energy. And in the games, there's a lot more energy. And frankly, I think there could have been games this year where maybe some of the All-Stars would have been bored. But because those guys are bringing it all of a sudden it's waking them up to bring it as well.
Yeah, and I still think it goes back to make hay while you have everybody healthy, because you're not going to have everybody healthy for the entire season.
Right.
And if you do, you know, it's funny, our producer John Curley today mentioned this during the break. Somebody did the math on 9-1 and what that projects out to over 82. And it projects out to 73.8. So it projects
so they're
out
make
to
some history this season.
So it projects out to 73-9, which obviously is the NBA record for regular season wins, which they set back in 2016. I don't think it's going to get to that point, just because I think they know the toll that took. You know, the core players, and I think they know that there is going to be a lull. It's not going to be 9-1 straight through, but I think we're going to see more stretches of 9-1 this year than certainly we saw last year. It's going to look, in my mind, a little bit more like 14-15 did. I know Durant wasn't around, or 16-17 did 2 years ago. The first year with Durant is probably a better example, where this thing got into the mid-60s in terms of wins. And you never really felt like there was much of a legitimate threat until you got to the playoffs. And it turned out 2 years ago there wasn't even a threat once they got to
right.
the playoffs.
And you know what's really fascinating? We're talking about how well they're playing, and DeMarcus Cousins isn't even back
Wait,
yet.
Wait, who? They signed him?
Yes.
Wait, the Warriors?
$5.3 million. The rest of the NBA says it's not fair.
I was actually in Hawaii when that happened.
Oh, really?
I was on a boat in Hawaii, and like, you know, phone was I threw it in the ocean at that point. I'll never forget getting back to the shore, just chilling, and you know, getting the phone and catching up. Obviously, it's a heavy news time, and I'll never forget seeing all the texts and the alerts and everything, and I'm like, are you kidding
All
me?
These exotic vacations. Draymond Green was telling me the other day that he was in Greece when it happened, and he was at a nice restaurant. He enjoyed it. So a lot of vacation time well spent with you.
I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was. So, yes, DeMarcus Cousins is coming back. And that's, you know what? That's another thing that gives him a little bit of margin for error in terms of if you lack juice. If you lack juice, now you are forced to focus on integrating him back into the fold.
Right, and that was the thing I was going to say. They obviously are going to benefit from DeMarcus for obvious reasons. He's a four-time All-Star. He can provide a multitude of skills in the post. He can shoot the outside shot. He can pass. He is going to be the starting center, no question about it, but there's going to be a lot of times that Steve Kerr is going to stagger his minutes with the second unit just to kind of spread out the All-Star wealth. But with all that, there are some question marks of his Achilles injury. How well can he come back from it? You know, to what degree can he adjust his role? Because it's not going to be the same role as he had in Sacramento and New Orleans. All those different first world problems are little things that can keep the team engaged. It's almost like a puzzle to sort out. And the Warriors want to do this because a lot of these guys know DeMarcus from Team USA. They kind of want to be seen as this savior franchise, that they brought the best out of DeMarcus. They want to help him win his championship. And obviously, DeMarcus has his own set of motivations where he wants to, A, prove that he can come back from this debilitating injury, and B, that, you know, the reputation that's followed him throughout the NBA, where he's seen as this guy that has emotional outbursts, he gets too many texts.
He's almost seen as a guy that I think some believe you can't win with
because all of that is too much. And I think that he has been of the mind that, look, of course that he wants to temper his behavior with that. He already got ejected, not even playing, and he apologized to Steve Kerr for that. But by and large, when you weigh up all the factors that have gone into it, he's been of the mind of, look, he was always in a bad environment in Sacramento. A lot of instability, a lot of bad decisions from the front office. And here, the Warriors are the opposite of that. A lot of great decisions, a lot of collaboration, a lot of great coaches, teammates around him. And so I think he wants to show, when he's in that environment, you will get a very good player that doesn't cause any problems.
Yeah, and I think the other misnomer, too, is, you know, people think that he didn't win with the Pelicans. You know, and yes, they didn't when they traded for him back in 2017 on the night of the All-Star game in New Orleans, ironically enough. But what happened was, last year, full season, they were winning with him. Yeah. And yeah, he got hurt, and they added Mirotić, and actually Mirotić wound up taking him to another level with Cousins out. But it was really his first full year away from that Sacramento situation. And the Pelicans aren't the most stable, you know, franchise in terms of the way they do things. But he was winning games with that franchise, too. So I think a little bit of that, I think there's some maybe frustration on DeMarcus's part that almost got construed as a situation where either they were better after he was gone, or almost like people don't give him credit for the fact that they were going to make the playoffs even if he had played the whole
year. Right, and he's also been frustrated that he didn't get a lot of interest in the free agency market. Now, he's been saying that he didn't get any offer from the Pelicans. When I've talked to people in the Pelicans organization, they actually said they did offer him something. But so it comes down to, well, how much did they offer?
Maybe insulting to him kind of a thing.
And I think he's seen himself, hey, I'm a franchise player. How are you lowballing me here? But the reality is basically 29 other teams in the NBA had a lot of concerns about would they be willing to invest so much money for a franchise player when you're having an Achilles injury. And I know from experience covering the Lakers, Kobe Bryant had the same injury now in a different context if he was older and he was still the guy. But it's an injury that's no joke. It takes you out, and it really affects your career. Basically, when you look at the history of the NBA, Dominique Wilkins is the only player in NBA history that actually played better post-Achilles than before. But with that, there was a lot of question marks of how he would come back. But the Warriors had the ultimate luxury where they were able to pay him with only the mid-level exception, $5.3 million. And worst case scenario, if he's not the same player, well, look, they won two championships in the past 2 years with four all-stars. So this is very low risk, high reward for both parties.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group Warriors beat writer here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game, as we are with you until 1 o'clock. Gary St. Jean coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Michael Thompson will join us at 11. We've also got Sam Amick and Jim Barnett scheduled to appear on the program as well. The Warriors are 9-1. Do you think 73 could come into play, or even 70 could come into play for this team at some point? I don't see it, Mark. I really don't.
I don't think that the Warriors are going to be chasing that, because I think they're still going to be falling under the same adage of last year that of all the things that factor into their chances of winning an NBA championship, the number one thing comes down to health. If you have any kind of limited version or a debilitating injury to any of their all-stars, all of a sudden it's a game changer. If they are healthy, it just seems like it's inevitable that they're going to win. Now, with that being said, I do wonder to what extent will they try to get home court advantage, because I think that they're going to be more in the driver's seat because of how well they're playing.
For the finals or for the
West? For just
West?
The entire league.
For the entire league.
They're playing a lot better. The divide between the Warriors and the rest of the NBA is steep. And I think as much as they showed it wasn't an issue because they beat Houston in a 7-game series.
It changed the series.
And I think there was a feeling that they almost survived something. Well, they came very close to having their obit written after game 7.
Yeah, and they almost, the way I would have looked at it, had they lost game 7, and you can tell me if I'm crazy, but if they had lost game 7, they basically would have paid the debt for how they played the regular season, because the regular season is what made that game 7 be on the road. And where if you get caught in that spot where you have to win it and then you don't, it's not even about game 7. It's about, well, you should have won a couple more games along the way,
right,
and it would have been at Oracle, and maybe you win the series in 5.
And also, it was the attitude that they took all year of, okay, we'll wait to flip the switch when it matters. Well, they didn't wait to flip the switch until in the second half of Game 7 of a playoff series. And I remember throughout last year, I had thought, you know what, this reminded me of what the 2009-10 Lakers are going through when I was covering them for the LA Times as a Lakers blogger, where, you know, they're coming off defending a championship and, you know, they wanted to manage injuries, they wanted to manage the long game, they're going to be fine. But when they were trailing by double digits at halftime against Houston, I had thought at that point, you know what, they're learning a painful lesson and it's catching up to them. But lo and behold, I was proven wrong, because the Warriors are so good and they can turn things around on a dime. And Houston can somehow, some way, miss 27 consecutive threes.
On the Chilton Auto Body text line, Double D checking in. 70 yes, 74 no.
Okay.
So 70's in play. I appreciate that text. Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Double D checking in. 70 yes, 74 no. Well, we'll throw that out on the phone lines here at 888-957-9570. Could this team challenge 70? I mean, 9-1 is a 73-win pace. Will they even care enough, knowing how much that took out of them in 2016, chasing that record? Plus, there's another record that I've just been admonished and laughed at for already bringing up. We'll tell you what that is coming up. Warriors This Week, 95-7 The Game.
Andre directing traffic. Clay comes free. Takes another three. Buries another three! Clay Thompson, 91-89 Warriors.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Rolling along here on a Saturday with Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group, Warriors beat writer, Warriors This Week. John Dickinson with you as always. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. As we are with you until 1 o'clock, Gary St. Jean will join us coming up at 10:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. And the Warriors are 9-1, Mark Medina. They've played 5 at home, 5 on the road, and they are 5-0 at home. They're 4-1 on the road. They'll be back in action Monday against the Grizzlies. Grizzlies a surprise. They're 5-2. One of a couple of surprises in the early going in the Western Conference, teams that were at the bottom that are off the hot start. Sacramento, another one, actually, at 6-3.
That'll change.
In the early going. They've won 5 in a row. It's funny, you always look at who's hot and who's not, coming into, once the season gets rolling. This is really the first week you can do it because, hot or not is basically just your record the first 2 weeks. But once you get to about 10 games, you can have a little bit of a streak. And you look at who has the longest winning streak right now. The Warriors are 7. Second longest winning streak in the NBA? Sacramento Kings. 5 in a row.
Which team can sustain it longer?
5 in a row. Oklahoma City is 4-4. They've won 4 in a row after they lost 4. And the Pelicans, I believe, are the opposite. The Pelicans lost 4 in a row after winning their first 4. So you add that up, and they're 4-4 as well. But one wild thing that I mentioned to kind of bring it back to the Warriors, I was thinking about the final year at Oracle Arena and the way the Warriors have started this season with the passion and the energy and a better focus. And last night I thought it waned a little bit, maybe compared to some of the other games. But I think you got to give the Timberwolves credit, too, for not turning the ball over.
Yeah, one turnover in the first half.
Incredible, right? And they had a lot of assists to go for. But the one thing that I wonder, a lot of times I throw things out like, will this become a thing? Will this become something that's talked about? Will this become something that becomes one of those motivating factors as the season goes on? And I've mentioned this to a couple of people. I mentioned it on the post-game show a couple of nights ago. And it's way too early to probably do it. But I thought, you know what? I wonder if this team could go 41-0 at Oracle Arena, or at least get to a point where maybe it's 17-18, and then it starts to become a thing that gets talked about in the final year in Oakland as almost a tribute to the storied history in that building and in that city.
I wouldn't be surprised. Now, if I had to guess, I think their record at home will be like 38-3. Maybe they repeat the record in 2015-16. It was 39-2.
They were 36-0, by the way, that year.
Wow.
They were 36-0 and then lost 2 of the last 5.
Yeah. I think this is what you're going to see the Warriors, but there's going to be some regression of just complacency, and there might be some games they rest some of the all-stars for preventative purposes, and maybe some of the early returns we're seeing on the young guys, maybe that evens out, with Alphonso McKinney, all of a sudden opponents are putting him on the scouting report. But I think to your larger point, yes, I think they're going to have a much better home record than they did last year, which was 29-12. And the fascinating thing about last year is last year, complacency was always a predominant theme, but it played out a lot more times at home than on the road. And you were thinking, well, how can that be? Like, what, doesn't home court advantage exist?
But they here, know they can coach.
But here was what happened. They would be on the road. There's this atmosphere that either had a lot of Warrior fans or fans that were booing them, and they kind of fed off that adrenaline. And at home, they almost kind of took it for granted. And there were a lot of games, particularly those Saturday 5:30 games, where
you could tell no shoot around,
and they're not ready. They want to get the weekend started early. And here, you have final year at Oracle. You have all the elements we already talked about. At the end of the day, the Warriors' driving force for this season, winning a championship, as it always is. But when we're talking about how do they stay engaged during the regular season, how do they set like mini goals, the whole play for Oakland falls in that category where they know that, you know, there's not going to be as many fans that go to Oracle Arena that will go to San Francisco. So this might be their last time to see them live. And so they want to send them out with a parting gift. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they go 41-0, but I'll just hedge a little bit and say, hey, they'll lose one or two games.
I mean, it's highly unlikely. It's never been done. The NBA record for home wins, the 85-86 Celtics went 40-1.
Jeez.
And that is the record. The Warriors, that was in play for them during the 73-9 year. As I mentioned, it was 36-0 before they lost to the Celtics, and then they wound up losing to the Timberwolves and won a couple of games in there to get over 70 and ultimately break the record.
And you know what's going to be a very fascinating thing toward the end of the season? Presuming the Warriors are doing what they're supposed to do. They got the one seed locked up. They're fully fine. Normally in those circumstances, the end of the year is the time that you start resting some of those guys, whether it's because they have some injuries or just resting them for the playoffs. But will they not want to do that because they know, hey, these are the last few games at Oracle. Let's soak it in. Let's try to get as many appearances. It'll be a very interesting tug and pull. And what's a great first world problem for them? How do they manage the final home games of a regular season?
And I just think it goes to finding different ways to motivate.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually, like you never, like nobody thought coming into the year they were going to break the all-time record for wins. You know, nobody thought that. But you start 24-0, and all of a sudden it becomes a thing. If you start 24-0, it's on the table at that point, you know, given the level of play. So I just wonder at what point does maybe that become a thing. And I wouldn't say this in any other year unless it was the last year at Oracle. Because I think that's what could be the connection that actually maybe gets them to embrace it. Now, I think the moment they're asked about it, and they've played five games at home, so we're about
so you can ask them tomorrow.
We're about 3 months away from that getting asked about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least two.
I should ask them tomorrow about it.
You absolutely
get out there early on it.
You should, because you're always there. Like, I always think something a little bit kooky like that should come from a regular guy, because they're not going to look at you squirrely. If that comes from, you know, somebody that doesn't ask a lot of questions,
right,
they're going to be like,
but then at the same time,
I do
want to hold the credibility and not be that guy, right? Here's the thing.
But is it that crazy?
No, it's not crazy.
Is it 5-0?
And here's what I was going to say. They haven't talked about going undefeated at home.
Right.
But even before the season started, Steve Kerr actually talked to the team about, hey, last year at Oracle, relish this experience. We know how special the fans are there, the atmosphere they've created. So they talked about it going in, that this falls under one of those mini goals of soaking in that environment and trying to put them in this position where they want to cheer and give them a good show.
And just play harder at home.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing. Like when you're talented enough to know that you can coast, you coast. Because they're how many times at Oracle, you know, they're just kind of playing and, you know, it's, yeah, you know, they're up six or whatever, and then there's one big run. There's one big 8 to maybe 18-minute run, depending upon the game, that just blows the doors off the game.
Yeah.
You saw it last night in a game where the Timberwolves were in it, had a chance to win going to the fourth quarter. So I think the Warriors know they only need that one stretch, especially at home, to put a game away. So I think a lot of times they play that trump card, and then they found last year, whether it was because of injuries or they just didn't have it, the energy level, they couldn't overcome with that one. They couldn't find that one big stretch.
Right, and here's a thing that I notice my time covering the Lakers and here, and I'm not just saying this to appease Warrior fans. I'm not And,
let everybody know the years you covered the Lakers.
Right, so
too,
I covered them since 2010, okay. And then I was traveling on the road for 2012 to 17. But so what I was going to say is, as far as the road environment, I always saw the environment at Oracle Arena, as well as in Portland and OKC, as the best road environment. And that was regardless of how well those teams were playing. So when you're talking about this, they have a true home court advantage, and teams are very recognizable of that. That they know that when they come in, that not only do they have to deal with these four all-stars, but they have to deal with the home crowd. And before the Warriors were this dynasty, I remember when the Lakers would come in to Oracle and they would say, hey, they're a team that's on the rise. We always have to be aware of their home court. That atmosphere is intoxicating, and sometimes it's hard to hear, you know, the play calls on the court and what the coach is saying. So it's a very real thing around the league with how they view fans at Oracle Arena.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's where we check in with Lionel in Fremont. He's up on 95.7 The Game. Lionel, thanks for coming on the program.
No problem. Good Saturday morning. Just hearing what you guys are talking about, obviously the Dub, you know, awesome time being a fan. I love it. But you guys are talking about the 73, and they do have kind of like a look so far in this season. I don't think they're going to go to 73 or 74 or 70, whatever. But they would have to kind of stumble on it. Like, they would have to have a game where a lot of the, you know, a lot of the superstars are rested, and all of a sudden the young guys, like, just pull out a win they weren't supposed to. Something like that would have to happen. A lot of the young talent kind of playing better than what we thought. Everybody kind of just clicking. It'll take something like that. I don't think they're shooting for that. The home record, yeah, that would be nice, but I don't think they're really shooting for that either. I think they're shooting just to basically make a message to the NBA, like, look, we're getting back home ground, and it could be so easy just coming in here and beating us. One record I actually want them to go, I don't think I was talking about, is a winning streak record. I think the Heat got it back in 2012. I think it's like 30-something games. That would be pretty awesome to do, just kind of to lay like a stamp like that, especially kind of like in the dog days of the season, just let everybody know, you know, how difficult it would be to get past this team. And I can't wait for Boogie to come. Love the show, guys. Go Dub.
Thanks, Lionel. Appreciate the phone call. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's Warriors This Week, John Dickinson and Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group.
Yeah, that was a great point that Lionel had. I do want to just clarify the record as far as winning streak goes. It's still held by the 71-72 Lakers. They had 33 games in a row. That team had Jerry West and Gail Goodrich and Wilt Chamberlain. And I know just from experience when teams have been close to getting that Lakers record, it was a toll on that team, and it was almost a relief when it ended. I wouldn't put it past the Warriors, but because of, again, the whole end game is health and all that, I don't think that they would try to do that.
It's funny, I'll go back to my wild prediction, because I think my wild prediction is this home thing for this year. My wild prediction from 2 years ago was that the Warriors could challenge the 33, and it never really came to fruition during the regular season until the end of the season. And it was funny because, I mean, obviously the playoffs don't count in that, but they went 16-1 in the playoffs, and they actually finished their, if you count the playoff games, the 17 playoff games, and the last 16 games of the regular season, they went 31-2.
Jeez.
They went 31-2, and the one regular season game they lost was a game where
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.